Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Trevor Noah was taking a look at Elon Musk's attempted takeover of Twitter, and he pointed out he offered to pay $54.20 per share. Yeah, not $54 exactly. No, $54.20. And that's how you know you're too rich, when you're spending a few extra million dollars just to slip a wee joke into your takeover bid. Stephen Colbert said a week ago, Musk became Twitter's largest shareholder after buying $2.89 billion worth of the company. Okay, did nobody tell him you can read all the tweets for free? After his big investment, he spent the week sitting down with experts to plan a long-term business strategy, by which I mean he posted a couple of trolley nonsense, like a meme of himself smoking weed with the caption, "Twitter's next board meeting is going to be lit," and a poll suggesting they change the name to Titter. So on Friday, I told you that Amy Schumer said the Secret Service had visited her. I started thinking about that. I'm like, does the Secret Service visit comedians? Is that what they do? I went to the Secret Service's website to find out their mission. Per the Secret Service, special agents focus on protecting top U.S. and visiting foreign officials and investigating financial crimes. Okay, that's what I usually think the Secret Service does. Our uniform division officer's mission is protect facilities and venues secured for U.S. Secret Service protectees. Okay, were there any government people at the Oscars? Maybe the governor of California or somebody was there? I don't know. The technical law enforcement job family supports special agents and uniformed division officers in their duties, okay? And civil service professionals from a wide variety of disciplines support the overall protective and investigative missions. So why would the Secret Service be talking to Amy Schumer about threats? No, nobody should threaten Amy Schumer, and I'm sure threats are very scary. But why would the Secret Service be involved with this? This continues to perplex me, but it's a good story to tell Howard Stern, possibly. Also, if you Google, does the Secret Service protect celebrities? Something that keeps coming up is the Force Protection Agency website, and they seems to be a private company, says FPA is uniquely experienced to execute the most discreet protective and investigative operations. We work with major celebrities, say, for example, Amy Schumer, top sports stars, musicians, corporate CEOs, high net worth individuals, in dealing with cases from celebrity stalkers and legal slash criminal investigations, personal on-set security, awards show chaperones, secured transport, travel companions and special events, to intelligent gathering, social media forensics, and intellectual property investigation. Maybe they contacted Amy Schumer? Who knows? I'm never going to get to the bottom of that, but I am intrigued. Up Rocks wrote about Bill Burr. Bill Burr could not help but notice that former President Trump knows how to riff, even if none of it makes a lick of sense. Case in point, the time Trump accused people of wielding heavy bags of soup to attack police officers. Burr said, "Somebody was sending me clips of Donald Trump, and I have to tell you, he's one of my favorite accidental stand-up comedians or comedic actors of all effing time. I cannot take anybody seriously that voted for that guy. I can't. It's just like, how many times can you look the other way with this guy?" Burr says he wouldn't mind seeing Trump do a comedy special. Let's not get into politics, but just like, there's nobody in the world that I love listening try to convey an idea as much as Donald Trump. He should have an effing Netflix special. Like, when that guy isn't president, he's one of the funniest human beings I've ever heard in my life. He's such a character. Burr also thinks Joe Biden is effing hilarious, even though he feels like there's a Weekend at Bernie situation going on there. They just wheel the guy out with effing sunglasses on. Seth MacFarlane has assembled the cast for a live-action Ted prequel. Peacock has picked this up straight to series, 10 episodes. Peacock's Ted is set in 1993, and Ted the Bear's moment of fame has passed, leaving him with his best friend, 16-year-old John Bennett, who lives in a working-class Boston home with his parents and cousin. Ted might not be the best influence on John, but when it comes right down to it, Ted's willing to go out on a limb to help his friend and family. All right. Are you watching Winning Time, the Lakers show on HBO on Sunday nights? It's like my favorite thing right now. It's so good. You should watch it. If you have a beverage with me, I will talk your ear off about the show. Jason Segel talked about his portrayal of Coach Paul Westhead. This from The Hollywood Reporter. They said, "This version of Paul painfully lacks confidence. What's it been like to play that type of character? Jason Segel, you know, the guy from How I Met Your Mother, that's who that is." By the way, it took me 3 episodes to even recognize him. I was sitting there and I'm like, wait, that's Marshall. So he did a really good job disappearing into the role. Jason Segel said, "Not believing in yourself is something hugely relatable. And then being called a lead when you're suffering from imposter syndrome, it's like everybody's fear of public speaking, the, oh my God, don't make everybody look at me. I recently interviewed a therapist for another project I'm working on. He said, the human instinct is to avoid." And I thought that's really interesting. And I think that's really true of Paul Westhead in the beginning. As for his prep, I read books like Showtime, on which the series is based. Paul Westhead and I had a brief exchange on Twitter saying how excited we mutually were, but the show's not a docuseries. I've always thought of it as a superhero origin story. It's about these guys becoming the Showtime Lakers, each of them finding their individual superpower, and that's where you get the heightened moments and heightened arcs in the story. You're watching a fable in a lot of ways. Some people are giving him pushback about the way he portrays the character. I'm not thrilled when anybody says anything about me in any way, but I totally get it. I think the show's made with a ton of love. And the thing that always gave me confidence when I was playing the weaker sides of Paul Westhead is I know by the end of the series, I was bringing Paul to a place where he was hoisting a championship trophy. Spoilers, hey, it's real life, you had 40 years. Apple has announced Loot, starring Maya Rudolph as billionaire Molly Novak. Molly Novak has a dream life, complete with private jets, a sprawling mansion, and a giga yacht. Anything her heart desires. But when her husband of 20 years betrays her, she spirals publicly, becoming fuel for tabloid fodder. Oh no, she's reaching rock bottom when she learns to her surprise that she has a charity foundation run by the no-nonsense Sophia Salinas, who pleads with Molly to stop generating bad press. With her devoted assistant Nicholas, played by Joel Kim Booster, by her side, and the help of Sophia and her team, Molly embarks on a journey of self-discovery. Very exciting. Loot on Apple, May 24th. You Brits love the Mighty Boosh. You Yanks, have you seen Mighty Boosh? Watch Mighty Boosh. It's quite funny. It stars Noel Fielding. Well, he's going to also have a brand new comedy series for Apple TV. The series is inspired by the real-life story of Dick Turpin. Who's that? I didn't know either. Turpin became a ringleader of thieves in the early 1730s and was notorious for robbing unsuspecting travelers who'd strayed off the beaten path. Dick Turpin remained a criminal till 1739 when he was caught red-handed for stealing a horse, and he was executed for his crimes. That's not funny, Apple TV. Apple TV said, in this irreverent retelling, Dick is the most famous but least likely of highway robbers, whose success is defined mostly by his charm, showmanship, and great hair. The Hollywood Reporter wrote about Gilbert Gottfried's cameo collection. The headline that caught my attention is Gilbert has left behind 200 hours of material. I said 200. These are cameo videos. Gilbert would charge around $175. He recorded 12,000 cameo messages in all, earning himself $2 million. The cameo CEO said if cameo had a Mount Rushmore, Gilbert would certainly be on it. He had a magic voice. The voice works so well on our medium and it'd make faces. Every video is iconic. You want to share it. In 2020, Gilbert said he always went the extra mile for his customers. I'll put extra effort into things. I'll look stuff up about what they do for a living and tailor my jokes to that. He started each day by checking the app for a quest. Then I lock myself in the bathroom until I finish taping them all. It's become my recording booth. Some of the cameos, a terrified family awaiting an impending hurricane, putting a smile on the face of a terminally ill man, and wishing a husband a happy 80th birthday. One review on Gilbert's cameo page from a grieving daughter said, my dad passed away last night. I'm devastated. But over the last few months, he showed everybody. He saw the video you made. I'm so glad you were able to do that video for him. It brought him so much joy. The cameo CEO says, it remains uncertain what will become of the 200 hours of Gottfried cameos. Nobody posts 10 Instagrams or TikToks a day. But for people like Gilbert, this is by far the biggest social channel he's ever had. The pure volume of content he made is longer than all his recorded hours of stand-up. Vulture talked to Gilbert a few years back and said, I've become a fan of your podcast. I'm amazed at all the terrible things I've learned from your show about the late Paul Lynde, who I remember from the Hollywood Squares. Gilbert said, I never met Paul Lynde, but I had heard stories from people. Paul Lynde was of that era, like with Charles Nelson Reilly and people like that, where there was no such thing as gay. They were just eccentric and Liberace. The women were crazy about him. Now you look at it and you go, how the hell could anybody be thinking he's anything else? But back then, you could cast them with a wife and kids, and they were just nutty. But Paul Lynde, aside from being this bitter gay guy and a drunk, was the biggest anti-Semite. I love doing imitations of Paul Lynde making anti-Semitic remarks. It's the fascination I have with the dark side of showbiz people, the perverted Cesar Romero, you know, the Joker from Batman 66, and Danny Thomas stories. Cesar Romero, I'm quoting Gilbert here, who is most famous for playing the Joker on all the old Batman series and in movies, who was a Latin lover, even though in real life he was gay. When you see him play the Joker, it all makes sense. It's like, oh. And then Gilbert, and he would get into this on his podcast, get rid of the kids, okay? Don't have the kids hear this next sentence. But Gilbert would frequently bring this up on his podcast and crack me the hell up, quoting Gilbert Gottfried. According to the legend, Cesar Romero was into gathering a bunch of young boy toys, and he would pull down his pants and underwear, and they would be instructed with all their might to fling orange wedges at his ass. Gilbert Gottfried. Vulture asked, do we believe this? Gilbert said, they say in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, when the legend becomes bigger than the truth, print the legend. And that one I love too much. I don't care if somebody comes to me with legal proof that he didn't have orange wedges thrown at his ass. I say it's true. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Google, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to support the show by becoming a premium subscriber, $5 a month will do that. And for that, you'll get the episodes commercial free on Apple Podcasts, also early releases and the occasional bonus release. I'm probably going to early release Gilbert Gottfried Stories Part 2. Other than that, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Throw $5 in the tip jar. I'll go to the National Donuts chain and I'll buy a large iced coffee with caramel and wait, update, almond milk. I'm finding that milk is giving me a little allergies in the morning, making it hard to run. So I'm switching to almond milk. So if you want to be the first to buy me an iced coffee with almond milk and caramel, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.